Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to Free China Pod for December 17th, 2019. Back at it. What's up, buddy?
We're back at it again.
Back at it again. Okay, first thing, I'm just going to lead off with a real quick one. So everyone knows that I don't know if we did talk about it on the podcast, but Yifeng, the tea shop in Taiwan, closed 30 shops. There's a bunch of stuff. A bunch of people are boycotting a lot of tea shops in Taiwan. Yifeng has been taking most of the brunt of that, and you should continue to boycott them because they're feeling it, and that's where they need to feel it, is in their pocketbooks. But I want people to remember that it's not just Yifeng. It's Yifeng, yes. Gongcha, Heiti. They all support equal liangzi, one country, two systems, for anyone that doesn't know what that is. Coco said that they firmly obey and support the national laws and policies of China, including that Hong Kong is an integral part of the People's Republic of China, and not only them, but also Dayunzi, 50 Lan, Wuslan, and Tiger Sugar, and some other ones basically say that they originate in Taiwan, China. So keep those bands up. If you're going to buy bubble tea, if you're going to buy any tea from a tea shop, make sure that they are in favor of Taiwan independence, or at least
thanks for the reminder.
The status quo. Don't forget about it, okay? Yeah. I haven't had... If someone tweeted at me and was like, "Ooh, well, yeah, I know you're boycotting Yifeng, but are you also boycotting Coco?" And I was like, yeah, I used to go there almost daily, and I haven't been there in 6 months or something now. So, yep, I am. So everyone should be joining us there.
I've been seeing stuff that they've been closing a whole bunch of branches, I think, from you.
Yifeng closed 30 branches recently. So they're feeling it. And as they should. Gongfeng can choose. They can fuck off.
Interesting. Hong Kong, my little thing here is that it's facing acute recession right now. And the government is projecting that they'll be able to pick back up growth, but the protests have definitely done their job, which is disrupting the status quo and hurting elite power, where it really hurts in their pocketbook with all these, you know, big companies asking for bailouts. They're really hurting, so maybe they'll think twice, and they've realized how badly they've screwed up everything, and that they can't keep pretending like nothing's wrong. So I hope brave people of Hong Kong keep the pressure on, and yeah, it hurts. I mean, the economic pressure hurts for sure, but it hurts the elites a lot more than it hurts you. I mean, at least percentage wise, it probably hurts like an average person a lot more to be unemployed, but as a percentage of their income and as a matter of importance, crushing the elites and, you know, knocking their income down by like, you know, 50-60% in a year is absolutely devastating to them, and it actually saps their political power too. So this is a really complicated thing, but I just want to commend the brave people of Hong Kong again, and say that your suffering is not for nothing, that like this is really hopefully will have an effect in teaching the elites of Hong Kong that they can't continue to abuse the people like this.
And just like the tea thing, that should go for everyone, whether you're on the other side of the world. You should be boycotting these companies like Huawei, these Chinese companies, down to from the largest to the smallest, whether it's a bag that you buy or it's a big purchase like a car or something. You need to be looking at where these come from. And yeah, maybe you pay a little bit extra, but think about the little bit of effort that takes, that these
and the quality
are going through, and the quality, and also that you're helping to cripple some of the most vicious human rights destroying regimes in the world. It's totally.
What do you think about traveling to Hong Kong right now?
Traveling to Hong Kong, I mean, if you're supporting the protests, I feel like it's probably worth it. If you're traveling there for tourism, I probably wouldn't do it, but that's, I don't know, I would consider that less. I would definitely say don't. I had this conversation with a podcast listener the other day, and I was telling them don't travel to China, basically. They had traveled to China a few years back. I was like basically explaining all the human rights stuff and how dangerous it is, as he's a Canadian citizen, and I was like, they'll straight up black bag you. They did it to the two Michaels, so they'll do it to you just because they take out like Hmong or something in Canada. So it's not safe.
Don't travel know.
There, and don't support their government with tourism dollars.
It's getting more and more like North Korea, that's for sure.
Absolutely. It sure absolutely is. You might, unfortunately, end up like warm beer. The next thing I had to talk about also relates to China. It was that the chairman of the Xinjiang region, is basically, his name is...
You mean the governor?
Yeah. They call him the chairman. He's the chairman of the Communist Party in Xinjiang.
That doesn't mean, I mean, there that's a separate position, I believe.
He holds at least two positions, but yes, he's. Okay. I've seen him referred to as the governor and also the chairman.
So maybe he holds both positions.
He might hold both positions, but he is the governor of Xinjiang as well. But okay. his name is Shorat Zakir. He is a Uyghur, and he's basically angry about the Uyghur Human Rights and Policy Act for obvious reasons, because he's a sellout to his people. But he's basically just coming out against the Human Rights and Democracy, or I'm sorry, the Human Rights Policy Act, which we talked about in the last one, and on the last intro, I did a little breakdown of what that basically means, because I felt like we didn't totally explain it for everyone. Again, a quick breakdown of it. Basically, it would require the Director of National Intelligence in the U.S. to report to Congress about security issues caused by the crackdowns in East Turkestan. The FBI would report on efforts to protect Uyghurs and Chinese nationals in the U.S. I assume those Chinese nationals would be people who have fled the communist China. And the U.S. Agency for Global Media would have to report on Chinese media related to this issue. Additionally, the U.S. Department of State, the State Department would have to report the scope of the crackdown. So that would be Pompeo. And actually, for as much hate as I have for Pompeo, he's on pretty much the right side of this issue. He's one of the first people in the government to call it out. So props to him for that. And it would also call on President to impose sanctions, basically under the Magnitsky Act. So basically, yeah, the guy came out, Zakir came out and said, he told repeaters that counterterrorism measures in Xinjiang are the same as in the U.S., which is just a flat lie. We don't put people in concentration camps in the U.S. It just doesn't exist. So that's a flat-out lie. And I saw reports of this in places like Al Jazeera, and I believe also in Reuters. I don't remember the Reuters, but I didn't see and maybe I need to read it again, but I have not seen journalists call this out. They just report what he says, but what they need to say is, that's just not true. It's not. It's a lie. But anyway, he also said that the U.S. is ignoring East Turkestan's social stability and launching a smear campaign, because that's all they have to talk about is like, oh, well, you know, there's less instability because these people live in fear of going to concentration camps now.
It's not only because they live in fear, it's because they took 30% of the male population and shoved them in a single prison.
Yeah.
Like, of course you're going to have social stability. There are no fucking people left.
Maybe even more than 30% of the male population. The population of Xinjiang, I believe, is about 10 million. There's an estimate of 3 million people in the camps.
It depends on the estimate.
Yeah, it depends on the estimate. But yeah, at least 30% of the male population. And now they're claiming that, oh, people are graduating and stuff like that, and it's all farcical. But yeah, it would also make calling the president this act to basically impose sanctions on CCP secretary, who's Chen Chengguo, which would be a first for sanctions at such a high level, basically. Part of the political bureau there, which is basically like a, what would you call it, like a central planning agency, like most communist governments
have. Maybe the Politburo?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be a first, and it should be something that had happened a long time ago, but it, you know, better late than never, I would say.
Interesting.
Yeah. So push people on that. I mean, like I said, it still hasn't passed. It passed the Senate in its original form, and then the House passed a stronger resolution. And so now it's waiting on Senate confirmation. The first Senate bill passed with unanimous support. The House bill passed with everyone minus old fucking Harold, Thomas Massie. Again, I've put up his work phone number, his email, things like that. Go look him up.
Who is this guy? What is he doing?
He's a congressman, a libertarian congressman from Kentucky, and he basically says that like we shouldn't be interfering in other countries.
Oh, wow. Mao Zedong would love that guy.
I would like to see how he felt about like some of the wars we're in the Middle East. Maybe he's principled and is totally against it. If so, then I'll give him a little bit of credit.
I remember how like Rand Paul pretended to be principled. By the way, Rand Paul, like, it must be such a shame for his father. He's like the least libertarian guy in Congress. He's basically just a bastard son of Donald Trump. The things that he says in support of Trump and against libertarianism are absolutely shocking. Basically, he said that Donald Trump criminally conspiring with a foreign government in order to withdraw congressionally mandated foreign aid in exchange for political favors was acceptable because he, Rand Paul, doesn't agree with foreign aid in the first place. As if he's supposed to be, the entire point of libertarianism in the modern age is supposed to be constitutionalism. The fact that a president violates congressional law in order to get personal gain out of it is as pretty much blatantly anti-constitutional as you can get.
Yeah.
So he's saying that because he personally agrees with the corruption, the criminal corruption that the president does, that the criminal corruption doesn't actually matter to him, and neither does the spitting on the Constitution. So some libertarian he is.
Yeah, right. Well, most of them...
Some constitutionalist he is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the libertarians that are in government are just libertarians essentially in name only, or at least only libertarian on social issues, not when it comes to... They're like, quote-unquote, inter-interventionists, but... You know,
it's the only thing that's not even on social issues. He's simply an anti-interventionist Republican.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. It's not a libertarian. An anti-interventionist Republican.
But they're also sycophants at their core. And so even their libertarian views will take a back seat if it means propping up Donald Trump and his agenda. So, but anyway, we'll see
what happens with Amash.
Go search out Massey and, Be civil. Don't make any threats or anything, because then they can turn that around on you, and it makes the movement look stupid. Try to pressure him and show him the fault in his ways.
Show him the brunt of our anger.
Show him the force.
We're angry.
The Free China Post Army. That's what we're out here to do. Last thing I had to talk about was there were two pro-democratic Hong Kong lawmakers that were unseated, basically, because previously, I guess... So Agnes Chow and Ventus Lau were not given seats because of something. I didn't totally understand this story. I tried to read it like three times, and maybe I wasn't paying full attention when I was reading it or something. But they were disqualified from running, and it didn't say what their political affiliation was. But then
Agnes Chow is a Democrat, but she was originally disqualified years ago because I think that they disrespected the Chinese national anthem and that they refused to, and that they advocated independence from China.
Okay, so those two were initially disqualified, and then two other pro-democracy lawmakers, Ah Nok Hin and Gary Fan. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing these names. They won seats and then lost their seats because of appeals, a court appeals, basically from Agnes Chow and from Lau. And so it seems very strange. So they've lost their seats now, and it's hard to say because I believe there's only 9 months left in this term, and they said it normally takes about 3 months to organize new elections. So
you're talking about the Legislative Council?
Yes.
It doesn't matter because the Legislative Council is completely toothless. So they basically are either they have no veto power. It's essentially like a rubber stamp over the chief executive, the unelected Carrie Lam.
It's true. It's still just a symbol of the bloody Hong Kong movement, and maybe them getting taken out will strengthen the resolve of pro-democracy movements and pro-freedom movements.
I hope
movements
so, because it's not like the Legislative Council can do anything anyways.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see. It's just, I mean, more evidence, it seems, of, you know, the hand of big Chinese government and media conglomerates and big money to keep democratic lawmakers toothless as they may be out of power. But yeah, we'll see. Do you got anything else, bud?
In China right now, in Shandong region, there's whispers of large-scale defaults of certain companies because the government was trying to limit the debt load of banks and kind of keep debt off certain books. They encouraged lots of companies to do basically cross-company lending, where large conglomerates or large firms in the region would bail out other companies. But basically, because all of them have lent to each other, it's left them so exposed that the collapses that are taking place right now, they threaten to bring down the entire economy up there. So we'll see what happens.
That's what happens when it's, you're just passing around debt. I mean, that's happened in the U.S. as well.
Yep.
Not a good idea. Very bad business practice leads to bubbles, and those bubbles always burst. So
bad economic policy.
Absolutely. You got anything else?
I've got three more.
I'm out of stories, so rapid fire, go for it.
USA Today and Fox both released polls in the last couple of days basically showing the complete opposite and both being jumped on by their respective... Well, the USA Today, I wouldn't say, is like liberal, but Fox, I would say, is... it's right-leaning, but it's not as right-leaning as I think it was like even 6 months ago, that they're kind of... They're a little bit losing their attachment to Donald Trump. Anyways, the USA Today released a poll basically saying that Donald Trump beats every single one of his Democratic opponents, which is contrary to months of polling. And not only that, This is stands in contrast to Fox News, a conservative organization whose poll showed that 50% of Americans want Trump impeached and removed from office, and another 4% want him impeached and not removed from office, mm-hmm. which stands 54% want him impeached in general, with the majority wanting him removed from office. So I don't see how he would get past the margin to win an election if 54% of the entire country believes that he's done such deeply criminal acts that he needs to be impeached. So I would say that USA Today needs to take a strong look at their methodology. And Donald Trump has already jumped all over this poll and publicized it. So I don't know what the hell they're doing. USA Today is also was releasing a whole bunch of trash stuff about how Biden was smashing Bernie. I think that USA Today is like the definition of trash mainstream media with shit methodology. And I think that everyone should stop listening to anything they have to say. Not because they're saying stuff that's disagreeable, because they're saying stuff that doesn't match any other polling agency.
Yeah, it's outlier.
They're so far away from like the norm. They're a complete outlier, and they've been an outlier, and they're also misleading with their coverage of the primary debates on the Democratic side. One other thing, the U.S. corporate rates were calculated this year. Not the actual tax rates, but the effective rates, showing that they're down significantly, obviously, because the corporate... The tax rate dropped thanks to Donald Trump. So the corporate tax rates are set in the 20s right now. The effective rate was, I think, down to, I can't remember the exact number, but somewhere around 10% now. So most companies are paying less than the average person in America.
Some of them
appalling.
Are literally paying net negative tax rates, like Amazon.
Some of them are.
Google.
Lots of,
they're literally getting more federal dollars than they paid 0% and they're getting federal subsidies.
96 out of the Fortune 500. Paid zero, so
jeez.
That just goes to show how many loopholes there are that you should close the loopholes before you just start shooting down the rates, especially for corporations who I can say haven't been doing badly for the last several years. So,
yeah.
But Donald Trump loves his money and loves making money for his friends and his children.
Yeah,
the last thing is there was a report recently that Facebook shut down a whole bunch of Hangoyu fan pages because there were some speculation that they were doing some illegitimate things. And I don't know the exact details. I just heard this in passing without actually looking up any of the details. But
yeah,
we can cover on this a little
story.
Bit.
I saw a news story regarding that, but I didn't have time to read it. So we should read it and then talk about it more because it seems interesting. They said they were basically in violation of terms and policies, but who knows exactly what that means.
The Espionage Acts.
So we'll see. You got anything else, man?
That's it. All right. Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. Don't forget to do social media
stuff. Good morning.
We'll
where you are.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep.
Me.